Good morning, church. So once a year we celebrate Christmas, and then once a year we also remember the Lord in Easter. So last week was Easter. We have Good Friday service, and then Sunday we have a Resurrection Sunday to remember the Lord. So now that is past behind us. Now we will move forward. So Easter, Christmas is behind us. Christmas is a once a year celebration, but is Easter also a once a year kind of a special week, special Sunday? So how important it is, the Resurrection Sunday? Someone said, I like Easter, but let's remember that Christ's resurrection is not truer at Easter than at any other time of the year. This is such a reminder. So this morning we're going to look at Peter the disciple, how this resurrection has changed his life. Last week, we listened to God's word. We meditated on the importance of Jesus' resurrection. So we do that once a year. But what does this resurrection of Jesus mean to you, to us, this morning, the rest of the year? If we look for a lead English pastor, would we hire Peter, the disciple? Well, he was the leader of the church. But if we look at the Peter before Jesus' resurrection, would we hire him today? In the Gospel, Luke it reported that when Jesus called Peter, he just pulled his boat up on shore, left everything and followed him. So his decision to follow Jesus is quite spontaneous. He just pulled up their boat and he jumped out of the boat and followed Jesus. It's impulsive. At least for me, it took me a while to become a Christian, to accept him. And it took me even longer while to commit my whole life to him. And it took me a long time before I walked into the full-time ministry path. But Jesus, Peter, when he's called, he just spontaneously jumped out of his boat and followed Jesus. We find that Jesus talked to Peter quite a lot in the Gospel, more than other disciples. And Peter also talked a lot. He's a talker, you can tell, right? From the Gospel and also from Acts, you know, that he delivered a really lengthy sermon. And not only that Jesus talked to Peter a lot, and he also scolded him a few times. Peter is just an ordinary person. His background is not spectacular, and he has his struggle like an ordinary person. He has his struggle, hesitation, he's impulsive, and he's a very, somewhat we call arrogant, self-reliance, self-confident person, isn't it? So when Jesus was telling them that, you know, one day, you know, you will all forsake me, will leave me. So Peter said that, look, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And Jesus said that, no, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And what Peter said that, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. So much confidence in himself, isn't it? And sometimes it reminds of us. We said we will follow the Lord. We will never give up our faith. We will always be a faithful follower. And don't we all sometimes like Peter? When we first became a Christian, we will follow Jesus faithfully all our life. And it is, if you look at Peter, you will think that he is kind of a bit arrogant, is it? A bit overconfident. And Pastor Norman, in the last few, he always talked about that we have to be humble before the Lord. We have to rely on the Lord for his strength and power to serve. So if this Peter today came to us and trying to look for this job as our lead English pastor, I'm not sure if like someone is so proud of himself. And Peter is not exactly a man of prayers, from our standard. When Jesus is getting close to going up to the cross to suffer and crucify for us, and Jesus his heart was sorrowful and troubled. So he asked the disciples to pray for him. So very often when we are in deep sorrow, in trouble, we will ask people to pray for us, don't we? Every Wednesday night, the Cantonese prayer meeting, we pray every Wednesday night in the evening. And we would we have received prayer requests from members, especially the ones that are physically weak. They need our support. So we pray for each one of them by name. So every Wednesday night, we pray, the Chinese Cantonese congregation, we pray for them. So prayer is a very important part of our ministry, to support each other, especially when members are in need. So here Jesus himself, he is the master. So if the master asking you for help to pray, if today Pastor Norman asks you that, I need you to support me, to pray for my ministry, I'm sure that you will have mercy on me and you will love me, then I'm sure you pray for me, if I ask you to pray for me. So here Jesus asking them to pray for me. So what happened? What did they do? They fell to sleep. They found them sleeping. Jesus was disappointed, of course. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. He singled out Peter here again because he will be the leader for the church. So they may be tired, but Jesus is about to die for them, for us. And Peter fell to sleep. So I'm not sure I want this Peter to be our English pastor or a pastor, definitely not the senior pastor, that he will fall to sleep during the prayer meeting. Can you imagine? One of these mornings in the service, and then now is Pastor Peter, not our Pastor Peter, this disciple Peter, can you do the closing prayer for us? And then say, hello, Peter. He fell to sleep. Right? He fell to sleep when we need him the most, when Jesus needed him the most to pray. He fell to sleep. So it's not exactly a good model as a leader for us, isn't it? Okay, we can accommodate that. No, he's a bit arrogant. That's sometimes it's the strength, right? He fell to sleep when Jesus needed someone to pray for the most. We can accommodate that, as long as you don't do that in every prayer meeting, that you fall to sleep. And from this following passage, John 18, 10, when the people, the priests and the people came and arrest to take away Jesus. So what did Peter do? He took away a sword and cut off the ear of one of the priest's servants. Now this is getting a bit too much. We know that Peter is an impulsive person. Now, but this is getting a bit too violent for a leader, isn't it? Like, can you imagine if you hire this Peter to be one of our pastors? So in one of the staff meeting or the planning meeting, and he got upset. So he took out his saber, his sword, and then started cutting off the deacon's ears. I don't think we want that in our church. This is too violent. So Peter is, at times, could be a violent person. I'm not sure we want him to be our leader, to be our pastor. Our safety is at risk. We want somebody who's brave, but not violent. Well, Peter is strong. He's a strong character, impulsive. He's brave. Is he? Is he a brave person? We are already familiar with this recording in the gospel that Jesus denied, Peter denied Jesus three times. We have preached the sermons just on this incident. Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster's crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. I think this is the lowest point at Peter's spiritual journey with Jesus. It's the lowest point of his life. He denied Jesus not only once, but three times. And Jesus has warned him beforehand. Jesus warned him that you will disown me three times. And three times Peter said, no way, I will die for you. But when the real test came, he denied Jesus three times. He went outside and wept bitterly, bitterly. He probably feeling so shameful. He felt that he is so weak. He felt that he's a coward. He's not exactly a brave leader, as he's trying to portray himself to be, as what he claimed himself to be. He feels so shameful. Do we want a leader like Peter? When the trial comes, when the test is here, that he will disown the master, he will deny his allegiance with Jesus. When the test comes, this pastor, disciple Peter, would run away from the church. I don't think we want a pastor like him. He's also a man of little faith. He's a coward, arrogant, he's weak, impulsive, falling asleep during prayer meetings. He has not one quality that we will want, look for in a church leader. But the resurrection of Jesus changed all of this. We saw all this in the gospel, how weak this so-called leader, the leader of the church, the cornerstone of the church. We all see part of us in Peter's weakness, isn't it? Peter is me. Peter is you. Peter is all of us. We sometimes feel just as weak as Peter. Sometimes our faith is weak. When we follow Jesus, sometimes we are like him, we are following him in the far distance, far, far behind our master, keeping a very far distance, looking. Sometimes when we come to test trials, we back down, we back out, we hide ourselves. Haven't we all experienced that? Sometimes when the Lord calls us to stand up, to testify for him, to witness for him, we hide, we feel shameful of our faith, don't we? Don't we sometimes, like Peter? Peter, disciple, the disciple is in us. We are this Peter. But the resurrection changed all of that, 100 degrees. But that did not happen in split of a second. Not just because Peter saw Jesus resurrected, and then he suddenly just changed totally. No, like a Superman or Spider-Man. Put on that the costume, put on that the coat, and then became Superman. No, it is a process. But at the empty grave is the beginning of this restoration process. Restoration, renewal process. When the women visited the empty tomb, came back and told the disciples, and they, what did they do? Were they excited? This is what the Lord has been telling us. Oh, he'll be resurrected. Arise in 3 days. No. They did not. Luke 24, 9, 11. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. These are the disciples. But Peter, being an impulsive person, he is, he got up and ran because he's impatient. He cannot walk, and he had to run over there, bending over, and he saw this empty tomb, empty grave, and he went away. Did he say, "Hallelujah, no, the Lord is arise"? Hallelujah, no, what Jesus has been telling us is the truth. No, he did not. He was just wondering to himself what had happened. What happened? What do you mean by what happened? Didn't you learn this in Sunday school? Between Jesus, he told you this is going to happen. He's going to be resurrected from death. Jesus already told them numerous times. But that somehow did not sink into his heart. He didn't really believe that, just like us. We all study this topic, the resurrection of Jesus. And last week, we learned about this. But it is just part of a Sunday school Bible class topic. It did not really sink into us. So when Peter saw this empty tomb, Jesus' body disappear, he was wondering what had happened. But this is the beginning of the restoration of Peter. This resurrection is just as powerful as it is today, as 2,000 years ago, as it is today to us. Our restoration started with a wonder, a meditation, a reflection. At this moment, Peter was reflecting what happened. His life was totally destroyed. His faith is all gone. It's down to the bottom of his spiritual life. And when he saw this empty tomb, then he started to reflect. And that is the starting point. That's the turning point of Peter's life. Starting with at the empty tomb. What happened is reflection. It is starting of a renewal and restoration. But he did not totally turned around. He was thinking, probably quietly thinking. He became a very quiet person, you notice. After this, we didn't hear him talk much in the gospel, isn't it? Until at the Sea of Galilee, that Jesus met Peter again in person. That is our very famous story, we call thing, of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Now, when Jesus met Peter, one-on-one at the seaside, asking him, if I were Jesus, I would be mad. You said that three times that you would not deny me. What happened? That's the first thing I would say to Peter. Right? What happened? Why did you run away from me? Why didn't you support me? At least come and support me while I'm dying on the cross for you. But Jesus did not do that. He did not scold Peter. He just quietly, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter is not the same anymore. Peter is not that talkative, impulsive, erratic, self-confidence, self-reliance disciple anymore. If you read that more carefully, Peter was very quiet. He did not even answer Jesus' question. Say that, yes, no, if it was the Peter, few months ago, no, he would say that, "Yes, Lord, I love you." No, he did not. He very quietly, almost speaking with shame. Peter was hurt. He's expressing his emotion, his feeling here, because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter did not even dare to answer directly, "I love you." He is too shameful. He just said, "Lord, you know what's in my heart. I dare not to say it proudly again." This is the starting of the healing process for Peter. At the empty tomb is the starting of Peter's restoration with reflection, meditation, thinking what had happened. This is the real Lord. This is the real Son of God. And at the seaside, when Jesus talked to him again, talking is the beginning of any restoration process, healing process. When husband and wife talk, fight, Cynthia and I, Simo and I, we don't fight too often. we don't argue too often. We don't have fight too often. Very seldom we have fight. But when we fight, then what happens? Normally, you don't talk to each other. Right? For us, we usually fight for not too long, maybe 30 minutes. Then we don't talk to each other. So the healing is always started with talking to each other again. Right? So same in the church, if you don't talk to certain people, then we cannot have this healing. So healing starts with talking again. Jesus started the healing process. He talked to Peter. Why he asked him three times, I don't know. There are different interpretations because Peter didn't give him the answer that Jesus wanted. But maybe one of the reasons is Jesus wanted to confirm him. Three times confirm him. This healing process has started. He wants Peter to be healed. "You know that I love you." And Jesus went back to the command to the mission that he had given to Peter 3 years ago to feed my sheep, to look after my flock. So after 3 years, after all Peter has done or has failed, Jesus went back to his original trust in Peter. Feed my lamb, look after my people, look after my sheep. So this, the restoration process with Peter started at the empty grave. And then move on, this healing at the seaside that Jesus talked to Peter. And the ascension of Jesus is the complete turnaround for Peter. It's the 180-degree turnaround for Peter. So when Peter saw Jesus ascend to the heaven, that just confirmed to him with absolutely no doubt that this is Son of God. This is from God, and this is the Master, the Lord, that he has once again to entrust his life to. And the ascension, when he, the witness of the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, that bring Peter to a 180-degree change, back to a disciple, a church leader to be with power. The power, he experienced the power of the resurrection when he saw Jesus ascended to the heaven. And the 40 days that he spent with Jesus after the cross. Before the resurrection, as we look at, Peter is a weak, impulsive person. But after the resurrection, we start to look at Acts chapter 1. Peter delivered this powerful sermon, Acts chapter 1, chapter 2. He led 3,000 people to Christ. Wow, not too many preachers can lead 3,000 people to Christ in one sermon. And Peter, in Acts 2, 32, that his sermon is going to focus on Jesus is risen. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of it. He is the witness. He's just not just a Sunday school teacher talking about some theology of resurrection. He is a witness of Jesus' resurrection and ascension to the heaven. This is no longer just a message. This is a life testimony. It's a witness. If we have not witnessed this resurrected power, we cannot share this with people. When we preach, we don't just preach a message. I will always tell the other pastors, we are not here to perform. We are not here to give an interesting speech, a talk to attract people. We are here to preach God's word. We are here to give our life testimony. If we have not experienced this message, then it's just a talk that we're giving, just a speech. We have to witness. Like Peter here, he's witnessing. His sermon is the witness of the resurrection of Jesus. That's why it's so powerful. And Peter became a very powerful preacher because he is sharing his witness of the resurrection of Jesus. He became a leader with strength, power, and courage. And he cannot stop. Even when people, the other people warn him not to speak anymore, Peter said, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. It is this resurrection power of Jesus inside his heart is so powerful because of what he had experienced that he cannot stop speaking. And sometimes people wonder, how come I always like to share the gospel with other people? Because this gospel is so good. Can bring people abundant, an abundant life can bring people life. No, it's just like the if you have certain drugs, vaccine, if can save people's life, I mean, you want people to share this, isn't it? Right? Because Peter has experienced this resurrected power. He is restored, renewed, and revived. So he wants to share this power with people. So he cannot help speaking about Jesus, about the resurrection of Jesus. This gospel changed my life. I hope it changed your life. I cannot stop sharing, especially non-Christians, about this gospel. And he became a powerful leader. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He focused his life, the remaining of his life, in the ministry of the word and in prayers. He became a man, a leader of prayers. In Acts, it's recorded numerous times he prayed. He prayed with 120 people, 120 people prayer meeting, including Jesus' mother. And he prayed 3 o'clock in the afternoon with John in the temple, it's recorded. And he prayed in the upper room. And he prayed, he urged everybody to pray because the end time is coming, because in 1 Peter, he gave his life to prayers and the ministry of the word. He has totally changed. He used to be a talkative, emotional, almost unstable, violent, proud, arrogant, weak. But now he's more careful with his words. He's a prayerful church leader and is willing to die for the gospel. Yes, we would love to hire disciple Peter to be our English pastor, to be one of our pastors, even to be our senior pastor so that I can retire. And this is because of the resurrection power that Peter has witnessed and experienced. I am not a forceful person. You should know by now. I don't like arguing with people, same as and I was in at work before. I think I'm more a gentle, timid person. I don't like to talk to strangers, actually. I don't like, given the choice, I would like to sit at the back. I don't like to stand up and talk. But God changed me. If I don't speak, I cannot be a pastor. Well, this is one of the job of a pastor. I don't have much faith. I worry a lot. I'm unlike Cynthia Simo. She's an optimist. I tend to worry about things. But the Lord gave me strength. And at times I feel weak, especially as a senior pastor. I feel weak. I feel I'm not strong enough. And there are hard times. I don't know how to handle this. Being a pastor, especially a senior pastor, the job is not for human. This job is so challenging that I don't think any human can do this job. I come to the Lord, ask for strength. This resurrected Jesus, he's the Lord. It's not me. I don't have this power. I feel like very often, like Peter, I'm weak. My faith is not strong, but it is Jesus in me. Preaching is actually the easiest part of being a pastor. It's the other challenge that is sometimes difficult to handle. There are points that I said, Lord, I cannot take it anymore, so just let me leave. I have done enough. The Lord said, you come back here. You need to look after my sheep. So I am like Peter at times. I have to go back to the cross. At the cross, we experience God's redemptive salvation. At the tomb is when we have to rethink, with the quiet, reflect, to renew. And then we go back to the seaside, and when Jesus talked to us, "Do you love me?" That's when our healing process begins. We have hurts in our hearts. We have broken relationship. We are falling behind the Lord. Our faith is weak. And let Jesus talk to you, like when he talked to Peter at the sea, and Jesus will just softly, kindly ask you, "Do you love me?" You just have to respond. Jesus has forgiven you for whatever your failure was. Just come to him. And let the ascension of Jesus, that be our power of our ministry, the power of our life. May that resurrected power, the power of Jesus, demonstrating to the whole world that he is the Lord of all by ascending to the heaven. No one has ever done that, ascending to heaven. Let that the powerful testimony be our power, be our strength. Let us be confident, as Pastor Tosa said, Christian brothers, that our power does not lay in the manger at Bethlehem, nor in the relics of the cross. True spiritual power resides in the victory of the mighty resurrected Lord of glory. The resurrection morning was only the beginning of a great. It's not only something that we talk about once a year. Vast outreach that has never ended and will not end until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Let this resurrection morning be a reminder of us every day that there is power in there that can turn Peter 180 degrees around. It can also turn you around. If you feel weak, feel failed, broken relationships, you feel that you are laying back, you are not following the Lord as faithful as you were, let this resurrection power this morning to give you a new, renewed life again. Let the resurrection joy lift us from the loneliness and weakness and despair to strength and beauty and happiness. Amen. Let's pray. Father, let this resurrection joy lift all of us up from our loneliness, failure, broken relationships, shamefulness, weakness, despair. Let us experience this morning this resurrection power. Bring us back to strength, beauty, and happiness in you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.